Would you welcome the Almeida family, Fernando and Liliana and Andre? Thank you.
Thank you. It's so great to be back in Mifflinburg after 4 years, having visited this church, this wonderful church. I'm sure I saw many of you at that time. I recognized the faces, although the names, probably not everyone, but certainly the pastor's name. So thank you, Pastor, for Krell, for having us back and share with you what God is doing with us and through us as we minister in Europe. We've been having a great week, and we are thankful also for the hospitality here in the city and Darla, who has received us at home, and many of you have invited us to be part of activities at your home. Thank you so much for making us feel welcome. It's almost like we are at our home church, and we feel like that. Thank you so much. And we chose this song this afternoon, this last song, as an expression of what's on our hearts, being thankful. We just sang about the importance of being thankful. Thankful for what God is doing, because that's what God is. He is active, is on the move, and we just need to be part of that and what he is doing. I'd like to invite you to, as we consider a text this afternoon, as for our reflection, as well as we think about the mission and God's mission, I want to read with you this text that connects the two themes very well together. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here's the apostle saying, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere." Praise or thanks be to God. That's how Paul started this verse. Thanking God for this opportunity. Thanking God for allowing him to be an apostle. Thanking God for everything that was going on in his life. Now, we know that it's not always easy to grow an attitude of thankfulness. In fact, when I remember when I was a little one, and as I was raising little ones, how sometimes it's hard to have them use the magic words. You know, thank you, please, excuse me. And thank you is one of those that sometimes it doesn't come easy. It's much easier to complain. I'm sure you probably agree. It's much easier to say, I don't like this, or this is wrong. Oh, I want to destroy everything just because we don't like things as they are. But this afternoon, we want to say as a family, and we want to say with you, thanks be to God. Because he is the one that is in charge of the mission. It's not our mission. It's not what we do. It's what he does through us and in us as we minister in the different areas of the world. As Pastor said, we've served in Argentina. Last time we were here, 4 years ago, we were sharing that we were in the process of being 6 years in Argentina and moving to a different country, Ecuador. And we served there for three years, and last year God has taken us to Europe. And we've been serving at the seminary. We've been serving now as also carrying the load and helping the district in Portugal, providing leadership for the district as district superintendent. I guess they thought that we didn't have enough to do by, you know, in teaching and being involved in school administration with the Nazarene College in Europe. So we had a little bit more added to our plate. But we are thankful. We're thankful for this opportunity to serve. This verse gives us three main reasons why we should be thankful to God in what it relates to the mission. And the first one is that God is leading the mission. Thank God, for He is leading. Now, Paul is writing in a context that was not the easiest one. He is still struggling with the emotions of his apostleship being questioned by the Corinthian church. He's still wrestling with those feelings of the first letter that he had to write to rebuke the church, and he wasn't very happy about it. In fact, he was anxious. And we don't understand fully this verse until we read a little bit before and we read a few chapters later to understand why Paul is so thankful. And that has to do with the fact that he was waiting to receive news from the Corinthian church. He sent the letter with Titus, and it was the first letter, and he was waiting to hear a reaction from the church. He wanted to know what was going on. He was concerned about the mission. So his heart was troubled here. He was not in a comfortable situation. He had to reprimand the church. He had to correct a few wrong teachings in the church. And he was now anxious. How did they take this message? So Titus gets back and he says, "Thanks be to God." As we think of missionary work and we as missionaries, sometimes we think, oh, about the good things of missionary work. We get to travel a lot. There's been a lot of miles that we've put in that car in these past few weeks as we drove from Massachusetts to New Jersey, to the south of the district here, and then all the way up to Mifflinburg, and now we went to Pottstown, and now we're coming back. Next week we're going to go to Birdsboro and then to Schuylkillhaven. I hope I'm pronouncing it Schuylkillhaven. Okay.
You can get that. That's pretty good.
Okay, good. And then we get to Portugal. We've been to Ecuador to see our daughter's graduation in the high school. And so people sometimes think, oh, that's nice. We get to see all these new countries, get all the stamps in the passport and start collecting stamps in the passport. Sometimes collect passports because we ran out of pages in our case. I know the U.S. passport functions different. But in our case, we ran out of pages and we need a new passport. They don't add pages to the passport. So we just collect passports after a while because we ran out of pages. So we think, oh, that's nice. We get to see all these people, all these languages, all these strange foods, or sometimes strange foods. Not always, but sometimes. And we'll get to see some of that tonight. And we don't think sometimes that, unfortunately, circumstances are not always in sunshine. We even as missionaries sometimes dream of having thousands of people responding to the appeal to the Lord's message and being saved. But sometimes that's not what happens, or most of the times it's not what happens. And it's in these stormy moments that God comes through and God tells us and assures us that it is His mission. It is not our mission. He is the one in control of the mission. And we just need to be trusting God in leading the mission to the best outcomes. We've served, as we said in the beginning, we served 6 years in Argentina and 3 years more in Ecuador. And we thought that that was all that God had for us. We were kind of feeling comfortable there already. We already knew the language. When we moved to Argentina, we were very comfortable because even the surroundings, because it's very colonial context, even the surroundings would remind us of Europe. So it was not that big of a change, except for the language. We had to learn the language. But by the time we moved to Ecuador, we already had the language, and we just had an issue of culture. We had to learn a new culture. And learn that some words in Spanish in one country mean something else that we shouldn't say in a different country. But that's another experience. And I'm sure you have that with the English language as well, probably. Some words in Great Britain or Australia or in Canada are different. I mean different things here in the States. So we go through this process, and we thought, well, I think that's what God has for us. And we thought that we were for the long run. You know, when we got to 2013, the president that we were working with at the seminary resigned. So the board thought, well, we need a new president. Why don't Fernando take the presidency of the seminary? So I was as president of the Quito Seminary in Ecuador for about a year. And when we got on February of last year, I got a phone call. And it was my colleague from the European Nazarene College, the president of the college. He said, now, I want to talk to you about something. I said, okay, well, that was quite unusual. I had taught a few times at the college. I know him very well. He was part of our class of global missionaries when we got sent out. We were both couples were sent out at the same time. So we knew him very well, but we don't talk that much, except when we are at General Assemblies and or we bump into each other at headquarters or something. And he said, I need to talk to you. So we scheduled a time to talk, and he surprised us. Now, I want you to prayerfully consider come back to Europe and teach at European Nazarene College. And I thought about that and said, well, I'm just in my first year as a president of the Quito Seminary. Is this the right time? Is this what you really want, Lord, that we go back to Europe and continue to develop the work there? And this time, going back to Eurasia, we started hearing and knowing even more that things were getting worse in terms of being difficult. And we hear about how difficult it is for people in Europe to accept Christ. Now, in Ecuador and in Argentina, our experience would be that, you know, if we are in a revival setting and the pastor makes the call to the altar or makes an appeal for who wants to receive the Lord, and the altars fill up almost always. But that's not the case in Europe. And we had experienced that firsthand as we were pastors of a church there for a few years before we became missionaries. So we knew how things were, but they told us it's getting worse. We're becoming more postmodern, more post-Christian than what we were a few years ago. Now, these questions began in my mind, or in our mind as family, going back to Europe, to this context, and how difficult it is for people to accept the church, that we have different religions now coming into Europe and competing with Christianity. Because it's no longer Christianity, the dominant religion there. So we start thinking, well, is this really what you want, Lord? And it was at the time that as we prayed and as we considered, we thought, well, if that's what you have, you are the one leading the mission. So we'll follow your lead. That's all we needed to do, follow God's lead. And that's what we've been doing over the past 11 years as we served as missionaries. We've been following God's lead wherever He takes us. and because it's not our mission, it's not what we want, it's not what we want to do, is what God has for us and how He wants us to help Him fulfill His mission. But the second element from this verse is not only that God leads, He leads in triumph, says the verse. Now here we have to picture the great Roman triumph in our minds, if we can. You know, picture this time when the commanders in Rome, in ancient Rome, the commanders of armies would come arriving from the battles, and they had won and they conquered a new nation. They would get to ride through the city of Rome in a golden chariot. And everyone was acclaiming them, everyone was receiving them, everyone from Rome was happy to receive them. And they will be cheered up, and they would be, they were clapping their hands, and they would go and be received by the emperor himself. We need to picture all the spoils of war being marching along with all the divisions that were under this commander's commands. We picture all the captives, enemies that they brought in as they march towards Caesar. That's how we need to picture. God is marching in triumphant ways. Even though sometimes we don't see it, or it's hard for us to see it, but God leads in triumphant ways. You know, and it has been like that from the beginning. God had an excellent plan for mankind. Unfortunately, man decided something else, that they knew better than God, and they went a different route. And one may think, as one reads the narratives in Genesis, one may think it's all over. Why should God continue to handle the human race? It's all over. But even in that context, there's a glimpse of hope. Hope for the future. There's hope for deliverance. And in the ups and downs of the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament, many times it seemed like it was almost over. There's nothing we can do. No, the surroundings, there's so much sin in the midst of the people that God just has to come and wipe them all out. But that was not the case. God was always giving a promise of deliverance. And in fact, we get to the person of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And again, there was this sense that it's all over now. Sin won on that Good Friday. And even the disciples thought that sin had won its ways. They didn't believe it, that in the resurrection, until later on. They still thought it's all over here. But again, He won the victory, and He's still marching triumphantly. God is leading in triumph towards the end that He has prepared for the human race, for those who follow Him. So sometimes things may seem out of control for the church. As we look at our surroundings, it may seem that things are getting out of control in our society. Just during these few weeks we've been here in the States, we've heard about some decisions that affect morality deeply in this nation. Things are changing in our environment. And some people even venture to say, I've talked with some other Christians in a different denomination, and some would venture to say, well, we may be coming to a time of persecution very soon. So things are not always looking nice for us as we fulfill God's mission. But we know how the story is going to end. And we know that God will triumph over all of this because He leads triumphantly in the mission. And that brings us to the last portion of the verse, as God makes us participants in the mission. Yes, it is His mission, but He invites each one of us to be part of the mission. In this verse, Paul says that God through him was spreading a fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere. The knowledge of God is like a fragrance that we Christians carry anywhere we go. In fact, as we are in our jobs, as we are in our work, as we are in our relationship, network of relationships, people should sniff us out and ask, what is that fragrance? What are you using? Oh, I'm a Christian. Yes, people should see that in us and feel that in us. The smell that we leave behind when we speak with people, when we influence people, when we are around people, as we touch lives around us. I always like to tell the story of that I find in many churches that we have spoken here in the United States, that as one leaves the sanctuary, there's a sentence written on top of the door that says, "You are entering the mission field." Sometimes we think of the mission field as 2,000 miles away, 3,000 miles away. They're in Portugal where the Almeidas serve, or where the Amorites served, or in South America or in Honduras. But we have a mission field right here, right where we are. And we are called to be this perfume, this fragrance that people can smell from miles of distance and say, "Oh, there goes a Christian. There goes a Christian," because he acts differently, he speaks differently, he always has a word of hope, he always has a word of comfort to give. He's always sharing about God and how this relationship has transformed him. People need to be able to spot us. We often tell the young people back in Portugal and in other countries as well, where we have spoken that to young people, because they always struggle with this idea, we need to be like the others. No, we need to be different. We need to smell different. Otherwise, how can people tell the difference between us and them? We are to be different as Christians. And we are encouraged for in these 11 years as missionaries, God, through our work, our way of being, our conversations, our intentional involvement with others, we have touched many lives. But this is not us. Again, it's God's leading the way in triumphant and making us participants in the mission. Now, I want to show you a brief video of these past 11 years as a reminder of our thankfulness for how the Lord has led us to this moment. So we will now take time and watch this short video about the different places where we have been. We are on a mission together. And we are so thankful that because this church and many churches around the world are faithful with their missions offerings, the church continues to send missionaries. And we are part of this missionary force that the church has around the world in reaching out and touching people's lives. But as I said, it's not us. It's really God leading the mission in triumphant ways. And we are just invited to participate in what he is doing in the air now. And even here, as you think about what you can do as you leave this church building, there's a lot to be done if we just let God lead us and be the fragrance for those around us. May God bless us. Pastor.